You are Locked On Broncos, your daily podcast on the Denver Broncos, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
This one's for Pat! The ball is free! Denver's got a touchdown, Denver!
Here's your host of Locked On Broncos, NFL analyst Cody Rourke.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to a very special edition of Locked On Broncos today. It is a Locked On Broncos, Locked On Bears crossover show. We're joined today by Lauren Cox, host of Locked On Bears. We're going to talk about the Denver Broncos and the Chicago Bears this week, joining together in practice, scrimmaging against each other, having the opportunity to go against somebody other than themselves in practice ahead of the Week 2 preseason matchup for the Broncos and Week 3 matchup for the Bears, who've already played a couple preseason games. We're going to see them kick off at Bronco Stadium at Mile High on Saturday. So, Lauren, thanks for joining us over here for this crossover show. Love doing these things. How are you?
I'm doing well, getting plenty of blue and orange together here on the podcast today. It'll be good.
I always wondered, because the alternatives for the Bears, you know, was that orange uniform. So I remember there was a time, I think the Broncos came up to Chicago. They were wearing all whites. I believe Kyle Orton was the quarterback at the time for the Bears, and we had Jay Cutler at quarterback, and I believe you guys were wearing orange, if I'm not mistaken. It was orange or blue, but I remember that. You almost thought you were watching the Broncos if you were a Broncos fan at that point. So that was a really cool thing to watch there. Obviously, a lot of history. You know, I'm very excited. Danny Trevathan, he, you know, former Denver Bronco, contributed a lot of great memories here in Denver. We have a lot of respect for him as a fan base. It kind of hurts to watch him down there in Chicago now. What are you guys thinking of him?
You know, it's funny. His long-term future here in Chicago is a little bit up in the air. You know, he's a phenomenal linebacker when he's on the field, but, you know, those injuries that kind of started with the Broncos have kind of lingered here with the Bears. You look at the last couple of years, played 12 games in 2017 and only started 8 in 2016 because he just hasn't consistently been able to stay on the field. Like, you know, like I said, a above average starter there, but now you have Roquan Smith in the fold. They drafted another linebacker in the fourth round this year, and then 2 years ago, they drafted Nick Kwiatkowski in the fourth round. He's been looking like he's ready to be a starting caliber player. So they're sitting there with a lot of young linebacker talent, and Trevathan's getting to this point where he's been hurt a lot, and now he's a little bit more expensive, and he's getting closer to 30. 2 years left on his deal, but there's some, I guess, murmurs of whether or not he's going to finish his 4 years in Chicago or if they're going to move on and get a little bit younger at the position.
Well, and I think they did get a little bit younger, too. You know, one of the guys the Denver Broncos were very, very high on, and this kind of leads into my main question for you on this crossover show, is Roquan Smith. The Broncos were high on him in the draft. Bradley Chubb fell to the laps at number 4. And then you guys obviously swooped in and got Roquan Smith. I felt like in the draft, Roquan Smith, if you were there, he was one of those players I felt you couldn't pass up if he was still on the board and your team needed a linebacker. Now, he just recently signed his rookie deal. He had a holdout a little bit ago. You know, I think it was all due to the, you know, the lingo of the new helmet rules and obviously the fines and things like that. That was a big area of discussion for this. But with him being back now, what does that do for the Bears defense? Because all reports out of, you know, practice on Wednesday at Broncos camp, the UCL Training Center in Denver, he was everywhere.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because Roquan Smith isn't going to be handed the starting inside linebacker job. And there's even some, you know, minor question marks as to whether or not he's for sure going to start week one. I mean, the Bears won't commit to that yet, obviously. I mean, they're not going to get too ahead of themselves. And he's going to continue to work with the backups. And it's Trevathan and Kwiatkowski. They've both been playing well this preseason and through training camp, although Trevathan, again, has been injured, which has been too familiar of a story for him. So, you know, when Kwiatkowski is fully up to speed when Roquan Smith is fully up to speed and in this defense and playing at his best, I mean, he can be a game-changing talent for this team. His ability to really dominate in coverage and rushing the passer and stopping the run. He's really sort of this next generation type inside linebacker that can really do everything and do everything you ask of him and just kind of add that new dimension of speed to this defense. But the question is, how quickly do the Bears get to that point? I mean, they were even kind of ho-hum about whether or not for sure he'll play against the Broncos. They haven't 100% committed to him being out there. He probably will, and but, you know, by all means, he needs the experience. But, you know, they want to get him back out there, but they don't want to rush him. You know, they don't want to have this go too fast and put too much on him. So it'll be a work in progress here and a little bit delayed from where he might have been without the holdout. But, you know, by week 2 or 3, he should be locked in, and we'll get to see exactly what he can do.
So word from Broncos head coach Vance Joseph on Wednesday was the Broncos first team D looked sharp. Case Keenum, the first team, you know, Broncos O looked sharp, but he said that the Broncos second team D looked terrible. So, and the second team O struggled a little bit. We have Chad Kelly there. We'll talk about that here a bit later on in this crossover show. But thinking about that, thinking of Roquan Smith getting reps here, he could be a true game wrecker for them, especially for a guy like Chad Kelly, who's trying to get a lot of valuable reps at the number two spot for quarterback this year. If Roquan Smith can be on the field and fly around as he's been so far early on in practice this week, enjoying practices, that might spell some terrible news for the Broncos.
Yeah, you know, I think Kelly's a guy that can challenge a defense in a lot of ways, but, you know, still kind of trying to find the consistency there. And Roquan's definitely a guy that can take advantage of some of those situations. And, you know, the Bears also feel pretty good about the depth in the secondary. Still a bit of a younger group behind the starters, but a lot of guys that they've had an eye on, and some kind of under the radar names that I think will be critical to watch in this Broncos game. Some undrafted free agents and some former kind of casts off from previous teams. I think I'm really curious to see how Kelly handles it and how the Bears secondary kind of keeps up.
You know, transitioning into the offense, it appears that the team as a whole, talking about Chicago, went through a change. They got a new head coach. John Fox is out. Matt Nagy is in. You know, and a lot of expectations will be, you know, how will the offense look with Mitchell Trubisky? Because it seems as if they made a conscious effort to surround him with a plethora of options in the offseason, whether it was Taylor Gabriel, whether it was Allen Robinson, and then a guy that could assume a much larger role this season in Adam Shaheen. What could the potential expectation be for this Bears team and with Matt Nagy, who did so well in Kansas City, you know, down with all the weapons that they had with the Chiefs?
Yeah, Nagy's been an interesting, you know, was an interesting hire from the start, just given his overall inexperience. That, you know, in Kansas City, he was offensive coordinator for a couple of years after Doug Peterson left for the Eagles, but he was only a play caller for, I think, the final five games of the season, plus the second one half of the playoff game. It was kind of some weird back and forth there with Andy Reid. So, you know, there's some still lingering question marks about, okay, long term, how well is he as a actual head coach? I mean, we think we know he's a smart offensive guy and can do, you know, a lot of creative things offensively, but the duties of a head coach are, you know, a whole nother ball game. We've seen a lot of smart offensive minds struggle in that bigger role, but so far so good. Nothing but optimism coming out of Chicago, and just offensively, it all puts the pressure on Mitchell Trubisky. You know, like you said, three new wide receivers at the top of the depth chart, new tight end in Trey Burton, bringing back two high quality young running backs in Jordan Howard and Tariq Cohen. And, you know, you have pass catchers. That excuse is, you know, more or less gone. I mean, quote unquote, excuse is gone. It's can't be a crutch for Trubisky anymore. Offensive line is still kind of fully coming together, but lots of talent there and just kind of finding a way to get all the pieces together. It all puts a lot of pressure on this young quarterback. And, you know, the stats from last year weren't great, but neither was the play calling or the talent around him or the scheming. And so, you know, I think Bears fans are ready to throw rookie year pretty well out the window. And, you know, taking the positives of what we saw when he was given some opportunity to play, I think a lot of Bears fans are all in on Mitchell Trubisky. They see, you know, no questions asked. He is the franchise quarterback. He's going to lead them to success. And, you know, we'll see. You know, quarterback development is often a lot of ups and downs. And so I think we'll see some games where Trubisky really shines and everything clicks. And there'll be other times when, you know, he throws an interception in the fourth quarter and the Bears lose. And, you know, I think all in all, that leaves you at around a 500 team this year. And in the NFC North, that might be fourth place, just with the Vikings and Packers shooting for the Super Bowl, the Lions trying to get back in the playoffs. And, you know, even if they're 8-8 and fourth in the division, that's solid improvement from last year. And I think, you know, in the grand scheme of things, Bears fans should be pretty happy with that.
Yeah, and especially when you want to rely on a running game in particular with Jordan Howard, who in all honesty is a very underrated running back when it comes to the NFL, as far as the names of Todd Gurley and Ezekiel Elliott and you know those types of top flight running backs. Jordan Howard really is a guy that does kind of fly under the radar.
Yeah, and he was the I guess, the target of some trade rumors this offseason that never really had any legs, because over the last 2 years, you know, his first 2 years in the NFL, he struggled with some drop passes. And, you know, I think according to the Pro Football Focus numbers, he's been among the league leaders in drop rate, in just in terms of a per target opportunities. He's catching, or he's dropping the highest percentage of his passes. But, you know, I've kind of gone back through it and looked more closely at the individual drops, and a lot of it is balls that are away from his body. You know, he still gets two hands on it, and it still passes that he should catch, but it's not as though he's dropping the gimme screens and the, you know, the curls that just hit him square in the chest. It's the more difficult ones that he can't hold on to. So there was some concern as to how well he'll fit, you know, with Kareem Hunt kind of being the pass catching back and runner in Kansas City. Tariq Cohen is going to be the real beneficiary here in the backfield, but Howard should still be, you know, a 1,000-yard rusher and pretty phenomenal there as long as he stays healthy. But Cohen is really the secret weapon. He's going to play a lot of wide receiver, going to play a lot of the slot, and just rarely line up in the same position two plays in a row.
Well, even another guy that was on the Denver Broncos last year, he's now on the Chicago Bears. It's always nice to kind of check and see how some of these guys are doing. How's Benny Fowler coming along in Bears camp? Because he stepped up last year for the Broncos, had two very good games the first 2 weeks of the season against the Los Angeles Chargers. Man, it's always crazy the way he has that name change. But the Chargers in week one, he caught two touchdown passes from Trevor Siemian. Week two against the Cowboys, he had a big game for getting a concussion. And after that, he just really kind of dropped down, and he was expected to be the Broncos' number three wide receiver that they have been looking for a long time, that they were seeking in Cody Latimer, who's now with the Giants. But it just didn't work out for them this offseason. Now he's obviously over there at Chicago. What are things looking like with Benny Fowler?
I was excited about Benny Fowler when they brought him in. You know, a guy that can be a pretty consistent special teams player and help you out and be not worthless on offense and potentially be that, you know, number four receiver with the talent that the Bears have added. But boy, he's really struggled in the preseason games, especially dropped a pass against the Ravens and then dropped two in their second game last week against the Bengals. Also had a fumble in that game, really hasn't, at least offensively, contributed and done any favors for himself. You know, I thought he could compete with Josh Bellamy as a guy that is sort of that 4 or 5 receiver on this team, but so far he's really struggled in it. It's not looking great early on for his long-term future with the team, but still have 3 more preseason games, and I want to say 25 or 26 days until week one, and you know the roster cut down is a little bit before that, but right now definitely on the outside looking in.
Well, even another guy, top threat right now, is Anthony Miller, who's had a phenomenal camp. Every time I check Twitter, you know, on my lunch break or something, I'm checking, I see Anthony Miller's name making a great catch, you know, making these great athletic plays, going up for the football. A lot of hype around him, especially with Mitch Trubisky. What is the latest on Anthony Miller? Because I know he struggled a little bit in the preseason game. I believe his first preseason game had one catch for, I think, was it 1 or 2 yards? And then, you know, I like the hype around him. Obviously a very talented playmaker, but what more can we expect from him?
I think we're not going to see a ton from Anthony Miller this preseason by design. I think Matt Nagy is intentionally kind of holding him back a little bit just in terms of opportunities. I mean, as far as that game against the Bengals, the Bears starting offense played, I think, 10 snaps as a whole. And so Mitchell Trubisky attempted, I think, a total of, I guess, 4 passes and completed 2 or 3 of them. So it was more just a lack of a sample size in that Bengals preseason game. And we kind of saw this last year with Tariq Cohen, that, you know, he's this explosive target that was really raving through training camp, and everybody's talking about how explosive he could be. But then you get into the preseason games and it's very vanilla with him. He doesn't really do a lot of creative stuff, gets the ball a few times and you see a little bit of it, but not much really to go off of. Then you hit the regular season, they unleash him, and he's kind of a breakout threat early on. I'm expecting something similar here from Miller, that against the Broncos, he might play a couple drives and might catch a couple balls, but you're not really going to see him be utilized the way they're planning to utilize him for the season. And I think Matt Nagy wants to keep other teams guessing and kind of let him do his best work at practice when it's closed off to the public and save him for the regular season.
We're hearing from Lauren Cox, host of Locked On Bears. Incredible insight on the Chicago Bears offense, the defensive side of the ball. A lot of cool storylines heading into this weekend's matchup with the Bears and the Broncos at Broncos Stadium, Mile High, 7:05 p.m. kickoff. We'll have an immediate post-game report over here at Locked On Broncos. But I'd like to tell you guys right now, if you're not busy, after this episode, go on to Twitter, to Google Podcasts, to Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcast, check out Locked On NFL Draft. It's an incredible daily NFL Draft podcast. and they have a new friend on the network, Draft Dudes. They're now part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where you hear Joe Marino and Kyle Krabs bringing their daily draft takes on Draft Dudes. Follow them on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcast, and tune into there. So jumping into it, you know, we heard from Lauren Cox, offensive side of the ball. We asked him a lot of questions regarding the Chicago Bears. A lot of great insight, like I said earlier. But now we get to hear from Lauren's perspective, what he thinks of the Denver Broncos, especially through the offseason that they've had, and some of the ties that the team has as well. So Lauren, fire away, my man.
Let's start with these Denver Broncos wide receivers. You know, I see a group, a couple of veterans at the top with Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders, and then they add a pair of rookies that I was pretty high on in this NFL draft with Cortland Sutton and Deshaun Hamilton. Where are you thinking the rotation's going to be there as far as how much the rookies are going to play, and not only in this preseason game, but in the regular season here moving forward? I've heard good things about Sutton out of training camp, but again, he was a guy that was maybe, you know, a little bit more explosive, but maybe not quite as refined as a route runner coming out. So what's kind of the development plan for them, and how do you see them roll into the offense?
I think overall, when the Broncos drafted Deshaun Hamilton, Cortland Sutton, I felt like it was with the eventual thought in mind that these would be the two guys that replace eventually Emmanuel Sanders, Demaryius Thomas, when they choose to retire at the end of their careers or if they go elsewhere. Now, a lot of hype on Cortland Sutton coming out of training camp. He's made incredible plays, and Vance Joseph says that Cortland Sutton, he's a guy, when you throw up a jump ball, he's a 60-40 guy, meaning that he comes up with it 60% out of the 40. He's athletic, he's very big, but like you said, one of the biggest things right him right now, one of the critiques, is he has to get more well-rounded in his route integrity, running the routes. You know, we can see a lot of these guys in the preseason. You know, they started, you know, Cortland Sutton started with the Denver Broncos first unit against the Vikings, and he played all throughout the entire third quarter. Deshaun Hamilton played throughout the entire third quarter as well, with the twos and with the threes essentially as well. So you're going to see a lot of action from these guys. They have a lot of very talented wide receivers. Underneath those two guys, right now you have Demaryius Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders at the one and two spots, and you have Cortland Sutton at number three, Deshaun Hamilton number four. But the Broncos are really projected to be bringing in, keeping six wide receivers on the roster this year, and maybe cutting off a little bit of weight at the tailback position. So you have guys like Tim Patrick, John D'Arce, guys like River Craycraft, some of these underrated guys that are really trying to fight for a roster spot. Tim Patrick has had a phenomenal camp for the Broncos, and so has John D'Arce out of TCU. He's been a phenomenal pickup for the team, and their hope is that they can have these guys. You know, I think the fifth and sixth wide receivers can be rotational guys, play a role when they need to, come in on the field, and also contribute on special teams as gunners, whatever the case may be there. So there's a lot of hype around them. You know, the Broncos are doing a lot of different things with them, going trips formations with Emmanuel Sanders, Demaryius Thomas, and Cortland Sutton. They want to move Cortland Sutton inside and outside so teams can't roll to him or have any cloud coverage on him. So the Broncos are really trying to be very versatile in their approach with these receivers.
One of the big weaknesses of this Chicago Bears defense, just not only on paper, but even kind of translating into the preseason game so far, has just been a lack of pass rush. They don't have a lot of proven depth at the outside linebacker position, and they've gotten some nice push from their defensive linemen, but a lot of it's been against backup offensive lines, and that's not necessarily as translatable down the line. So how has the development of this Broncos offensive line been? You know, it seemed like in years past it was a group that's really struggled, but I know they've invested in it quite a bit with draft picks as of late and some free agents that some have and some haven't panned out. But, you know, not only the starting group, but the backups too. How has the pass protection been for the Broncos?
Well, I think the expectation is for, at least on paper, and we always use that phraseology all the time, you know, on paper, you know, on paper, the Denver Broncos offensive line is better than it has been in years past. I mean, obviously Garrett Bowles, he's going into his second year, and the expectation is that the development will be a lot better with Bowles, to where he can solidify that left hand, that left side of the line. And then, you know, John Elway did the smart thing, which was go after and grab Jared Valdir to solidify that right tackle spot and get a veteran. But, you know, you look at the Denver Broncos offensive line, and they've really lacked continuity from as a whole and from top to bottom. And moving Ronald Leary to left guard, I think, is going to be a huge plus for this team. And then obviously having Connor McGovern, a guy that really came onto the scene late last season, played exceptionally well. And I think he filled, he was Ronald Leary's role down at It was right guard when Leary was playing out of position, I should say. And so Ron O'Leary's down to left guard. Connor McGovern is going to take the right guard spot. But, you know, you're looking at, I think, a more like a continuity-based offensive line. But the depth, that's going to be the biggest test, because throughout the regular season, throughout preseason, whatever, teams always experience injuries. And so can they roll in guys like Billy Turner, who's had a decent camp down in guard, or a guy like Menelik Watson, who is still on the roster, and he had probably a forgettable 2017, but they decided to use him more as a swing player, but mostly at guard. You're looking at an opportunity, I think, for the depth of that offensive line to be, I think, a little bit better. But again, that depth of that offensive line is going to be quite a question mark.
I think big picture wise, a lot of people are wondering what Case Keenum is going to be able to do this year. And it's been such a limited sample size with a couple pass attempts in one preseason game. I don't want to focus too much on him, but as far as the quarterbacks that we have seen quite a bit from and that we'll see most of in this preseason game, what are your guys' impressions of Chad Kelly? You know, passing Paxton Lynch on the depth chart obviously stands out to those of us on the outside, but how much of that has been Chad Kelly actually playing well and Paxton Lynch just being really bad?
Oh, man. I tell you what, I don't even know where to start with this. You know, Paxton Lynch, the Broncos traded up for him in the first round of 2016 following their Super Bowl season. Peyton Manning retired. Brock Osweiler went to Houston. So at this point, I think it was the desperate move to make. The hope was that Paxton Lynch would have been the guy when last season for the Denver Broncos. You know, Trevor Siemian came out of nowhere. Paxton Lynch's rookie year in the preseason and stole the starting spot. He looked pretty decent year one, Trevor Siemian did. But then at that point, you know, there was a lot of questions that, you know, he's very one-dimensional. So at that point, heading into 2017, they had this whole entire, you know, campaign. You know, there was a hashtag created for it by a local media group, a local radio, 104.3 The Fan. They were talking about, you know, the battle, to, you know, 2017, Trevor Siemian versus Paxton Lynch. And so it was more divisive in the media in terms of the quarterback competition than it was, you know, team-based and everything like that. Paxton Lynch got his opportunity. Trevor Siemian was named the starter, and then Paxton Lynch became the backup. But heading into, you know, last year, obviously Trevor Siemian being traded to the Minnesota Vikings, an NFC North rival for you guys. You know, if something happens to Kirk Cousins, you guys get to go against Trevor Siemian. But at the same time, Paxton Lynch, you know, the writing was on the wall. He has not progressed in his 3 years of being a Denver Bronco. Year one, we saw a little bit more potential from him. He started against the Atlanta Falcons. And at that point, you know, he has these intangibles, the legs, the, you know, the arm. But his biggest thing is confidence. So last year, when he did get a start against the Oakland Raiders, he got hurt in the first quarter. And then there was a whole thing of the media making fun of him for crying on the sideline after an injury. You know, things like that. I think those things negatively impacted his confidence at that point. We never really saw anything from him, you know, ever again at that point. Coming into training camp, there was a lot of talk that he regressed. He couldn't pick up the simple concepts of a playbook. He was lazy in his work ethic. He'd rather play Xbox, according to a source that we've heard from. There was a lot of different things here. Now, in training camp, you know, he's been very quiet. He's had a lot of struggles. He hasn't looked that great. He's been inconsistent up and down. And then you saw it, you know, the whole world saw it on Saturday when the Broncos played the Vikings. Anytime Paxton Lynch had the ball in his hand, you could just tell that he was so timid with figuring out what to do with it. He wouldn't go through his progressions. He missed several open throws across the middle of the field on the Vikings that could have been a big play or even a touchdown on several plays. He threw a fade route to Deshaun Hamilton. Instead of getting on the outside, he threw it on the inside when they had a safety over the top. It could have been intercepted. You know, just some of those quick decisions there. So the real influence here, when Chad Kelly came in, the energy, the momentum absolutely changed. You could tell based on Chad Kelly being on the field, he had more confidence in his ability to play quarterback than Paxton Lynch did. And so it created energy through Broncos Stadium. The fans, you know, believe it or not, if you saw the broadcast, if it picked up on it, they were chanting Chad Kelly's name. They were chanting Kelly. I mean, it was like Tebow mania all over again. And then, you know, I always want to try to avoid that whole thing because the media has definitely talked about it quite a bit. I don't think Chad Kelly, in my honest opinion, is ready to be a backup quarterback right now. I think the Broncos' best move is to bring in a veteran quarterback, trade for him, trade for a guy that's a former Minnesota Viking, you know, Teddy Bridgewater, who's now with the New York Jets. They could package up a guy like Shane Ray and even a lower package with Paxton Lynch, add him into there if they're willing to take him on at that point. And then that's how you get rid of Paxton Lynch, and then you address the backup quarterback spot. You move Chad Kelly to practice squad to get more development. Those are just some theories that I feel like. But I think Chad Kelly has deserved it, especially over Paxton Lynch. So we're going to see a little bit more from Chad Kelly when he goes against some of the guys that are more realm to compete on Sundays rather than the guys that, you know, are going to be fighting to compete on a roster spot or even to make a practice squad and third and fourth string guys. So Chad Kelly, I would say the key characteristics, energy, confidence, and just overall ability right now are miles ahead of Paxton Lynch.
And bloodlines certainly help there too.
And John Elway actually spoke in the media and he said something earlier. He says, you know, you see a lot of things when you watch, you know, Chad Kelly at practice, you watch him prepare. You see a lot of things that you saw with Jim. So, you know, that, when you have that thing, you know, obviously I felt like Chad Kelly would have been a bigger round pick. You know, a lot of offseason questions, off the field issues. I think that dropped him down to Mr. Irrelevant. But that really, I feel, in my opinion, I feel like that humbled Chad Kelly a lot. We haven't had any issues with him off the field. You haven't read about his name in the paper negatively. He's done a lot of positive things. So that's a good step in the right direction.
Well, let's get a couple of quick defensive things here before we wrap up. I wanted to talk about sort of the look that the Broncos came out with last week against the Vikings with Will Parks there as sort of this safety linebacker. And he played, I think, most of the game from what I saw and seemed to, from what I heard, seemed to play pretty well. Is that how big of a part in this defense is that sort of three safety look that's becoming more popular around the NFL? Is that something you think we'll see a lot in the preseason game? And is Will Parks, you know, a quote unquote starter in that sense? Are we going to see enough of him to include him in that group? Or is he more like a kind of a starter in the same sense as a slot cornerback? Or sort of what is the dynamics here of this defense?
Well, this is a tough question because Will Parks, you know, like you said, you saw him lined up inside as a dime backer alongside Brandon Marshall. Brandon Marshall dropped back to cover. Will Parks blitzed, sacked Trevor Siemian. You know, the Broncos, they acquired Sua Cravens in the offseason, you know, a guy who had a lot of promise with the Washington Redskins, played very well at USC in the same type of position. He's a hybrid type guy. The Broncos, and as you found out, you know, in Wednesday's practice, the Chicago Bears tight ends were having a field day. And so the Broncos, you know, because Sua Cravens is out with a knee injury right now, they have really struggled with covering tight ends or covering tailbacks out of the backfield. They brought in Sua Cravens to kind of be that. They needed a dime linebacker so they could afford to be able to cover guys on the outside and not worry about having to give stuff up across the middle or, you know, tailback dumping out later, running angle routes. You have guys there that can cover. Brandon Marshall, Todd Davis, they can't cover those routes, so they utilize a rotation of Will Parks, and Will Parks played phenomenal there. So when Sua Cravens does return, that's going to be a little bit of a challenge for Sua Cravens, in my opinion, to earn a right to get on the field right away. But because he's been away from football, you know, he retired last year and then came back, and then obviously he's now in the Broncos. So, you know, I think going through there, we're going to see a lot of that from the Broncos this year. We've seen in the NFL, the Atlanta Falcons utilize that tie-and-patapic tactic a lot because they have the versatile players to do that. They want to be physical on the outside, and they want to be a little bit versatile on the inside to be able to cover some of those weapons. So, yeah, you're going to see a lot more of that. I thought that was a good look. The Broncos didn't really do too much of that last year because they really didn't have the personnel to do it. This year, they do.
Well, just to wrap up here, with, you know, we talk about pass rush for the Bears being a weakness. Obviously, the Broncos have some pretty firm depth there on the edges. What are you expecting from them in this preseason game? You know, last week, Mitchell Trubisky got hit twice, once for a sack in, again, the 10 snaps he was on the field for. So some early issues in pass protection there. And then even the Bears' backup offensive line, you know, some real question marks at a few different positions there. You know, is Von Miller going to even play? Is it even worth playing Von Miller in the preseason? And then, you know, with Bradley Roby and Shane Ray and, you know, Shaq Barrett and all those guys, are you expecting a pretty hefty pass rush here, or how have they been so far through training camp in the first preseason game?
Well, I think for me, you know, Von Miller obviously didn't get to play in the first preseason game. Obviously, he was, I think he was told that he, or the expectation was that he was going to play, but then come to find out he decided not to play. So my guess is if Von Miller does play, I still would imagine it's only going to be for one series because you don't want to damage your goods still in the preseason. And so for Von Miller, I would not imagine him playing a majority of the preseason. But for guys like Bradley Chubb and guys like Shane Ray in particular, my guess is that they want to come out and they want to play a much stronger preseason. Because if you go back and you watch the Minnesota game, whether it was pass rush or, in particular, run defense. The run defense was a little bit suspect for the Denver Broncos. They didn't really maintain the best gap control on both of them. And so, and it wasn't just them. It was their linebackers. It was kind of the whole defense sort of as a unit when it came to run defense. But I think that you're going to be looking at a unit coming into the regular season that the hope is that with Bradley Chubb being with being opposite of Von Miller, that you're going to be looking at a more ferocious, I should say, pass rush that not mirrors 2015, but just is close to it as far as the pass rushers that they had at their disposal and everybody that they can roll in at a time's notice for plays. So I think the depth is better, but the question is, well, how better will they be in certain packages and can they contribute in run defense down the line?
All right, so the Broncos are favored by 3 in this game. You guys are putting $100 down. Who you got?
Oh, man, you know, you put me in a tough spot here, man. If we were in my bookie season, I might actually make a little bet here. But, you know, I think the Denver Broncos, I think they'll look much better this week coming out after having a full game. A lot of these guys getting reps. You know, they had a lot of new additions this week throughout practice. They released a few guys as well. I think the Broncos will be more competitive this week, but I don't really know at this point. I think the Bears looked really good last week in the preseason. I think they're continuing to climb and gel and get better. Chase Daniel looks good as a backup quarterback. I just say if Chase Daniel outperforms Chad Kelly, I think the Bears win this one. If the Denver Broncos twos can get off to a good start, shake off a rusty week at practice as a second unit against the Bears' second unit, then I think they can get a little bit of redemption. I think the Broncos could sneak one out. Late field goal. We didn't even see Brandon McManus attempt a field goal last week. I'd say this one's a coin flip. I say somebody wins by a field goal.
And you know what they say. You play, you win, you get paid.
I like getting paid. I like those paydays. And we're certainly going to approach that here as the NFL regular season commences. So stay tuned for those deals as well. You get a lot of good options out there to win some money for just being a football fan, watching football. And it's a better way to play fantasy sports as well. So, Lauren, I'd like to thank you for joining us here for a Locked On Broncos, Locked On Bears crossover edition over here at the Locked On Podcast Network. A lot of great insight on all things going to Chicago. So, Lauren, can you tell listeners of Locked On Broncos who love to get all the NFL perspectives how they can follow you on social media?
Yeah, and then I'll have you do the same. Both of you do the same right afterward. Yeah, you can follow me personally on Twitter at Cox Sports One. It's like Fox Sports One, the channel, but with a C.
I love that. That's clever.
Most people don't get that when I spell it out or tell them that, and I say afterwards, like, oh, okay.
I like that.
It really didn't work as well as I thought it would when I changed it to that 4 or 5 years ago. But anyway, I needed ESPN to take a further step back in Fox Sports to kind of grow a little bit more, and maybe that wasn't a smart bet for me. But Locked On Bears has Facebook page, Twitter, and all that, and of course you can find it everywhere you find Locked On Broncos as well. I work for Pro Football Focus, Bears Wire, part of the USA Today Wire Network, do some other stuff here and there and kind of bounce around. But yeah, that's me. Tell the Bears listeners what you guys do.
Yeah, you can follow me, Cody Rourke, at Cody Rourke NFL on Twitter. I love engaging with fans, whether you're a Broncos fan or you're a Raiders fan or you're a Dolphins. It doesn't matter. I love talking football, do a lot of really cool discussions, and obviously I'm always giving my perspective on the latest news analysis on all things NFL and Denver Broncos related. You can follow me at Cody Rourke NFL. Also, I'm a writer, columnist over at PredominantlyOrange.com, part of FanSided. You can get a lot of great segment from a great staff of guys over there at PredominantlyOrange.com, and obviously the Locked On Broncos Twitter handle, at Locked On Broncos.
And you can follow me also at Cameron Parker PO. I too am a columnist over at Predominantly Orange. And yeah, like you said, it's down there on FanSided, and I am more than willing to engage with you guys on Twitter, talk to you guys about the or should I say predominantly Denver Broncos, should I say.
They should really change the name of the Bears FanSided site to just Predominantly Blue, you know, just to kind of match up.
That would be actually a cool little counterpart. It might be a little conflict of interest. I know they have a lot of good gear now at the FanSided swag shop, so if you're a Bears listener and you like the Bears FanSided site, order some swag. I know I got me a Locked On Broncos coffee mug because I'm a coffeeaholic. I like all that stuff there. So it's kind of cool to kind of branch out, get some of that gear as well. But as always, Lauren, love doing these Locked On crossovers. I think the network has a really great thing going on with this. And I do wish the Bears the best of luck, a healthy season ahead of them. And hopefully they can take strides and maybe dethrone Aaron Rodgers for once. That would be a crazy thing to see. But, you know, I think the Bears have been, like you said, they've been rolling. And you mentioned it, even going 500 in the division, you could still end up as fourth place. And we've seen that in years past. So the division continues to get competitive. You know, the Vikings are reloaded. So I look forward to tuning into your crossover shows and obviously your shows throughout the year just to get my perspective and kind of hear what you have to say about the Bears so I can stay up to date with all things Chicago.
That's the beauty of the Locked On Podcast Network. Every single team in the NFL and NBA.